In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's good to be back with you, and you're saying, well, where did you go?
You were here last Sunday.
Stephanie, I took a little time this week and did what we came to do in California, and that's visit a couple places. We were up in Dana Point and spent some time by the ocean and went to the missions at San Juan Capistrano. And I know many of you who lived here all your lives, you visited the missions, but that was our first time, and it was a wonderful experience learning some of the history of how the church actually, you know, founded California. It was wonderful. Saw the little chapel there, the beautiful chapel that St. Sierra founded, saw the bells, saw where the swallows nest and that whole thing. So it was a wonderful experience. There were a lot of kids there, and they're all scurrying around, and I didn't know, but fourth graders get to learn about California history, even the church, which is an amazing and a good thing. So we enjoyed that. And then we tootled out from the ocean to the desert. We went out to Borrego Springs. We were going to try to see the stars, but as the Lord would have it, there was a canopy of clouds, so no stars. And then we were at dinner and got a call from our dog sitter, and silly me locked the security door, so we had to turn around and go back home. But we had a great time. So little bit of here, a little bit of there. It seems like a million years ago, but I'm back, so it's all very good. We continue this morning in Mark's gospel with the inauguration of our Lord's ministry. He enters the synagogue in Capernaum, and there he begins to preach. And he preaches as one who has authority. But before we move into that whole understanding of the authority, you have to understand how this all falls in the order of Mark's gospel. Remember, and I'm going to keep reminding you, that Mark's gospel is the shortest of all of the four gospels. It moves very quickly. Mark has a point that he wants to make in terms of who Jesus is. And remember, he uses that word immediately, oftentimes. Things happen very, very quickly. The gospel begins. This is the gospel of the Son of God, the good news that's coming forward. All of a sudden, we go from that to his baptism. And then what we've missed out on is what happens right after that, and that he's sent into the desert, he's driven into the desert to face the temptations of Satan. Now, Mark's gospel does not give us any of the details of that. In Matthew and of Luke, we hear of the temptations. You know, the devil comes to Jesus and he says, you know, if you are the Son of God, always questioning who this person is. If you are the Son of God, you know, turn these stones into bread. Jesus says, man does not live by bread alone, but by everything that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. And then the devil takes him up on the temple and he says, if you are the Son of God, cast yourself down. And Jesus says, you know, the angels will bear me up on wings and I will be protected. And then the devil takes him to the mountaintop and he says, you know, if you are the Son of God, I will give all of this to you. And what does Jesus say? You should not tempt the Lord your God. Be gone, Satan. And the angels come and they minister to him. The battle was enjoined in that place in the wilderness and the desert. And Jesus was victorious. He did not take any of the temptations that the devil gave to him. But the battle was not, by any means, by any stretch, over. Because the devil just keeps coming. You know, you know that in your lives, the temptations. He never quits. And he'll find the weakness and he'll weasel his way in. You know, so when you think, you know, oh, I'm going to go be healthy and take a walk, and instead you go pick up a bag of potato chips and sit in front of the TV, you know, I mean, that's a small example, but, you know, that's just a little thing. You know, when you're going to, you know, maybe do something with your kids, but you need to check your phone and see if you got any messages, that's a distraction. You know, go spend time with your kids and go take a walk. When you're going to go say your prayers, and instead you pick up your favorite novel, you know, it's the devil sort of wheezing his way in, wiggling his way in. But Jesus stood fast, you know, get behind me, Satan, be gone. But again, the battle is not over. So Jesus is in the synagogue at Capernaum, and he gets up and he begins to preach. He begins to talk to the people. And unlike the scribes and the Pharisees, who would usually preach saying, Moses said thus and such, or this is what Rabbi so-and-so said, Jesus didn't do that. Jesus spoke from the heart, from the depth of his soul, and proclaimed the good news that God had given him to proclaim, because he was God also, the second person of the Trinity. And he does so in a convincing, compassionate, powerful way. And the people begin to listen. Their ears are perked. Rather than just hear the normal drivel and that sort of thing, you know, it wasn't drivel, but, you know, the readings from the Torah and the various things, they heard something new, powerful, and exciting. And then something happens. Again, remember, the battle is enjoined. And there is a man in the congregation. And all of a sudden, he cries out, "Jesus of Nazareth, what do you have to do with us? Jesus of Nazareth, what do you have to do with us?" The demon in the man knew who Jesus was. The demons, of course, know who Jesus was, just as Satan knew who Jesus was. You remember the story in the Acts of the Apostles where Paul is going around full of the Holy Spirit and he's healing people and he's casting out demons and he's doing all the works of God because he, by the Holy Spirit, was called and empowered to do that. And the itinerant exorcists, the Jewish exorcists, are going around and doing the same thing in the name of Jesus. But they don't have the power that Paul has because they don't have the faith and they don't believe in God for what they're doing. So they come to this one person who has an unclean spirit. This is the itinerant exorcist, Jewish exorcist, not Paul. And they try to cast out the demon. And the demon says, you might remember, it's a great story, it'll make you chuckle, "I know who Paul is, I know who Jesus is, but who are you? Who are you? You know, you don't have the faith to do that." And then the demons jump on him and they get all hurt and they run away. So the demons know who Jesus is and they say, "You know, Jesus of Nazareth, you know, I know who you are. Have you come to destroy us? You are the Holy One of God." Jesus is calm, calm as just anything. And there had to just be a hush in the congregation. There just had to be a hush. And this demon is probably screeching and making noise. Think of the most horrible, you know, horror movie you can think of. And Jesus says, "What? Be silent and come out of him." And he convulses him and he comes out. You know, suddenly and amazingly, as Mark says, amazing, another of his famous, you know, wonderful words that he loves, immediately and amazingly, there is a calm and there's a peace in the man. And he's brought back to wholeness and he's brought back to the family of God. We don't know where the demon goes. You know, in some of the other accounts of exorcisms that Jesus does, they go into the swine and the swine drown themselves and that sort of thing. Mark's not worried about those sort of things. What he is trying to establish is the authority that Jesus has as the Son of God. The authority to preach the word of God with conviction, with compassion, and with absolute certainty. And now, not only in words, but in deeds as well. And so he becomes the Lord over the demons as well. He becomes the protector. He becomes the healer. He becomes the one that brings that peace that passes all understanding. He becomes the Lord over the spiritual world as well as the Lord over the physical world. You might recall in the Gospels, there's the story where Jesus was in the boat with the disciples. And the great storm came up on the lake. Remember, they're all tempest-tossed, and the wind's blowing, and the waves are battering the boat. And I had an experience like that when I was about 10 years old. We were out fishing on Lake Zurich in Illinois, and I was with my friend and his dad, and I wasn't particularly fond about being in a small boat, but all of a sudden the storm came up. We couldn't get the motor started, and the boat is tossing around. The waves are coming into the boat, and it was a frightening thing. Finally, the motor got started. We went to the shore. We were all safe. Well, they didn't have motors, but they had the Lord. And so in the midst of that storm, tempest tossed, what does Jesus say? You know, "Silent, be still." And the winds calmed, and the waves were calm, and the people in the boat, the disciples, were safe. He is Lord over the spiritual world, over the demons. He is Lord over the physical world in which we reside, and he is Lord over all of our souls. Each one of us gathered here today, and each soul that the Lord God has created. Now, I hope, I pray, you never experience that real sense of demons, but we all have our own demons, do we not? We all have those temptations. We all have those things that, you know, we carry around. call it what you want. I have a son who's a heroin addict, but in recovery. I saw him struggle with demons that I would never, ever would have imagined. But by the grace of God and by the power of God, he's been clean and sober for 4 years. That's an extreme example of demons. But we all have those things that gnaw at our souls, that gnaw at our hearts, that you know, call us from the love of God to something else. And I was joking about the potato chips and the Facebook, but you know, there's something deeper. But the Lord, who is Lord over the spiritual world, and the Lord, who is Lord over the physical world, who can cast out the demons and calm the seas, can also calm our hearts and our souls, that we might know that peace of God which passes all understanding, with authority that God has given him to be Lord of life. That's what Mark wants us to take away from this passage. Not the drama of the demon, but the fact that Jesus is Lord, Lord of each one of us, Lord of our hearts, our minds, and our souls. When we turn them over to him, I hope and pray we all experience and know forever that peace of God which passes all understanding. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.